Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to the live Saturday edition of the show. We are here and we'll take your calls and thoughts about whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160 here tonight. It's Ian.
And the captain.
Coming up here tonight, police kill a 12-year-old completely unnecessarily. Captain has that story. We'll share that with you on the way. Plus, speaking of the youngsters, New Hampshire breaking records, apparently, pulling kids out of the government schools, meaning parents.
Sweet.
Pulling their kids out of the government schools, which is the smartest thing you could possibly do.
Wow.
Progress. Kids.
And it's not only smart in the sense like your children will actually have skills if you pull them out of school. It's also just a matter of safety. I mean,
sure.
It never gets covered, of course, but the levels of sexual abuse that happen to children in public schools are
physical abuse, bullying, all that crap.
Oh, astronomical.
Yeah. Not to mention that government is the world's largest bully, and thus public schools are also bullies themselves. But in addition to that, then you've got bullying with like peer groups.
And just the poisoning of their minds. That's the number one reason to get them out. But we can talk about that a little bit. I think when it was yesterday or the day before, we covered the news that the U.S. government gang is about to hit their so-called debt limit starting as soon as this Thursday.
I think I've heard
Wait, what's
before?
The difference between this and the debt ceiling?
Same thing, I think.
Because they just keep raising the ceiling.
That's right. And that's, of course, what they're going to do again.
Which has got to be the world's tallest ceiling.
They like to raise
ceiling.
The roof
on
how much of your money they can spend.
Right. It's currently at like $31.4, I think, trillion dollars. And so they're pretty much there. And so this is basically it's going to turn into a big political football. The Republicans are going to act like they're going to stick their feet in the sand.
Something else for me not to pay attention to.
They're going to draw this out as long as they possibly can before they'll finally crack and completely raise the debt limit.
It's so weird. Like, people who are just tuning in, never heard this show before. We can predict these events with this type of accuracy because we've seen them all before.
It happens all the time.
And they keep repeating themselves time after time after time to a point that it is a frickin' joke to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had to reference you. I think it actually was last night's show, because I brought you up, Peakless Mountaineer, as somebody who pays close attention to these sort of financial monetary issues.
Mm-hmm.
And if I recalled correctly,
He likes the money.
What could happen? And I'm glad, because I appreciate people that can explain this stuff.
The most important thing, because it's half of every transaction. So if they're stealing from your money, they're stealing from everything.
They sure are. So the what they're talking about, what might happen if the U.S. hits its debt limit and the ceiling isn't raised, they're saying this could cause economic calamity. And if I recall correctly, the way you explained it previously was that they rely on this debt limit to continue to be able to pay interest on treasury bonds, for instance. And if they cannot do that anymore, that the whole like stock market, mutual funds, there's all this, this sort of reliance on the continuation of these treasury bonds being paid as they are promised to being paid. Because when people buy treasury bonds, they're saying to themselves, this is a sure thing. This is based on the U.S. government, they'll never default.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now they're talking about, we might default, quote unquote. Now, we know they're going to raise the limit, but that was, did I recall that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. So the thing about treasuries of various kinds, so it's less than the inflation, so the financial class doesn't like to use a whole lot of them because you're not getting more back in actual purchasing power, but it's basically just the go-to move to reduce your risk, because if the dollar will exist at all, then the U.S. government is going to pay your treasury bonds when the time comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a big scare tactic that they've done so many times before. If anyone out there wants, there's a really good video on YouTube by CPG Gray that just details this to absolute perfection. And it's a really common thing. They do it over and over again. And it's exactly like you said, a political football. Because, oh, well, you were irresponsible with money, even though it was us that told you that you had to spend that money.
So I wanted to bring this up again because now in the news at some website called the New Republic, newrepublic.com. This seems like a left-wing, or at least this article here is very left-wingy as far as it's just constantly attacking the Republicans as though they're the only problem in Washington, D.C.
You mean they're not?
But the author of this article actually brings up this quote-unquote solution and takes this seriously, the idea of minting a trillion-dollar coin.
Oh, yeah, this happened the last time
yeah,
you bumped up against the, yeah, quote, debt ceiling, unquote.
It's getting floated again here by this person, Lincolns.
As, like, if I were just joking around and I was like, hey, you know, they print money anyway, why don't they just print a trillion-dollar coin and send it to the Federal Reserve and say, okay, our debt's paid.
Well, they would need to print $31 trillion coins.
We'll print one $31 trillion coin.
But that's the question here is, if this person is going to advocate for the printing of a trillion-dollar coin as a solution to not raising the debt limit,
like that would actually...
Why not advocate all $31 trillion then?
Yeah.
If you're just going to go in for $1 trillion, go all $31.
That would actually be like one of the least surprising and most transparent things a government ever did. If they printed $31 trillion coin to pay off the debt, that would be one of the most transparent and least, like, you know, sort of divisive things and, like, you know, straightforward thing that they ever put forth.
Yeah, direct money printing.
Yeah.
So the reason that they will absolutely never do this is because right now the money printers...
Because then you won't be their slave.
You'll still use
their money.
I assure you that will not change one iota.
You'll just be a poorer slave if they do this.
Well, so here's the thing. The reason that nothing like that will ever occur is because right now in this country, the ability to print money is held by the large banks. So all of the biggest banks, they get together and they have these local feds, and those feds are part of the Council of the National Federal Reserve, right? And the Federal Reserve decides, okay, here's how much money we're printing, when we're printing it, how fast, where, and when. Now, if the U.S. federal government, the Treasury, were to just print their own money, that would be the equivalent of a coup in this country.
Oh, but they are legally able to under the Constitution, right?
Oh, they're allowed to.
Yeah, yeah. So they could do it.
In fact, they were supposed to. But no.
And they handed it over to the Federal Reserve. You're saying they won't do it because it'll piss their banker buddies off if they do.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyone who even proposed this would find themselves out of a job very quickly because all of their opponents would suddenly have a massive fund to run against them.
Now, the Federal Reserve and the banks control the money. Governments control the military, and you put the two together and you get fascism.
Yeah.
Right. And the reality is there's just no reason for these people to want to lower the debt. They never have lowered the debt. The system is designed to have more and more debt. They just have this ceiling so they can make all this political, you know, hay over this issue of, you know, trying to prove to the voters that they care about this. And never once has this ceiling gone down over time. So ridiculous.
They might make extra hay and have a quote-unquote government shutdown, which means, you know, we'll shut down the parts of government that we think you like.
Yeah, like parks.
Yeah, like the parks.
Trying to remember what else they shut down. Parks and...
There's really nothing else that you might like, yeah.
Turns out trees cease to exist if you don't have a ranger around.
Youth centers, I think, got shut down, stuff like that.
Well, didn't they keep the rangers around to try to keep people out of the parks?
Right.
Yeah. Like, they put up barriers and...
Yeah, we're not going to, like, not pay government employees. Yeah. That would be crazy.
So the only difference was they just threw some barriers up at the entrances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
We're just going to not let you
that actually,
use government
actually costs
services.
More than just leaving it be and letting it people does. In and yeah. still paying the park ranger.
Right. So, yeah.
Government goes
lather, rinse, repeat.
I'm just going to share a couple of paragraphs from this advocacy for the trillion-dollar coin So they say here, I know what a lot of dull-witted pundits are going to say about this proposal. You can't just mint a magic coin. It's a total gimmick. This is crazy talk. You want to know what's really crazy? Agreeing to remain the Secretary of the Treasury during a period of time when the House of Representatives' primo nutters have made it their cause célèbre to regularly threaten to tank the global economy. But just this week, Bloomberg News reported that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who herself has called the platinum coin a gimmick, will remain in the role for the duration. If she wants to survive, let alone enjoy her tenure, she should tell Joe Biden that she's ready to mint the coin. Honestly, I'd question the judgment of any Treasury Secretary who wouldn't do so, given the sadomasochistic alternative of grimly enduring an escalating series of economic nightmare scenarios. So the suggestion this person's making here is, look, if you just mint the coin, it gives the Republic, takes away all the Republicans' sort of negotiating tactics. So this person writing this is completely anti-Republican. They're partisan. They're pro-Democrat. Like, if you just mint the coin, just one. You don't have to do all 31. Yeah. Just mint the $1 trillion coin, and then there's no more negotiations that happen. Then we can push it, kick the can down the road to 2024 when all the voters will vote in Democrats and the problem will be solved. Right. And then we can just start spending, you know, like crazy or whatever.
Yeah, except that if you want to see the Republicans seize control of the U.S. federal government, the most effective way to do that is to get someone in the Democratic camp to really, really push for this.
What was the word the author used? Gimmick?
That was actually what Janet Yellen described the platinum.
Well, as if the U.S. dollar is any less a gimmick, right? I mean, like, this proposal to print this coin is just as asinine as the U.S. dollar is.
Sure.
It would be just some kind of crazy gimmicky magic coin. Oh, you mean like the crazy gimmicky magic pieces of cloth?
Like reach into your wallet. Do you have some? Is it USD? Guess what? You're holding that crazy gimmick right there.
Right.
In politics, conflict and complications are inevitable, says the author here. Simple solutions are in short supply, and we all have a tendency to overthink things. It was, in fact, overthinking things that got us into this mess. During the grand bargain phase of his presidency, Barack Obama thought it would be a great idea to use the occasion of raising the debt ceiling as a moment to enter into larger negotiations on debt reduction. Obama just threw open Pandora's box, enabled the GOP's plunge into debt limit psychosis, and we've been struggling to get un-effed ever since. It was also not coincidentally during his first term that the idea of minting a trillion-dollar coin, which appears to be an entirely legal cheat code, thanks to a few sentences in a 1996 law, first arose. And that's how this person views this.
If by cheat code you mean the original design of the government, then yes, it is a cheat code.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, no, the government...
Left, okay. right, circle.
The Treasury was supposed to do all of the money. That was the original plan. That was plan A. They're going to mint all of the coins. They're going to tell you what the ratios are. That was their job. But instead, we have a central bank, right, which is run by a bunch of corporations. That was not the plan. I mean, arguably, that's against the Constitution. And in fact, I would argue that. I would double argue it, given the fact that they didn't have a quorum when they passed it. But we're kind of getting into the weeds on history here.
But what you're saying, though, was... Originally, if they were minting coins, then we're not talking about pieces of paper,
right,
quote unquote, backed with value or whatever. We're talking about actual hard currency, actual right, precious metals. And so in order to tax people, they would actually have to convince them, you know, probably by the threat of violence or whatever, but they would still have to actually convince them to send those coins in, mm-hmm, as opposed to what they can do now with the central bank, which is to just print money, hit the printer button, or increment numbers in a computer system, and they can have all the money that they want to in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been a completely different system, system that would have actually disincentivized things like going to war, because the people would have had to have actually funded the war directly,
right,
instead of through the printing press.
The system that used to exist in this country that it was designed for would have made war as we know it completely impossible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I mean, if you look into history like World War I, every single one of these countries was on a fiat system. They were all money printing, every last one of them. America didn't even enter until after we had a money printing system, because you cannot have a modern war without printing money. Like, historians.
Because people won't stand for it?
Well, no, because it's physically impossible. So, you just can't, you literally cannot gather the taxes, which is how you would have to do it if you weren't printing money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's what I mean. If people aren't willing to support it, then it's over.
No, no, I mean, it's physically impossible to gather the kind of money that you need.
To wage war.
Even if you've got a warmongering
populace.
That is
the only way.
Even if you have like a huge warmongering populace that's like all in and let's kill people,
yeah.
They'll give you
That's
no,
correct.
Really?
It would still be impossible.
It depends on what you're defining as war, but we're talking like modern warfare where your country
tanks
has
and bombs.
You could still have like warlike people, you know, groups of people who are, you know, like raiders or pirates or something like that. But you couldn't wage war in the modern sense.
Yeah. Consider everything before the Civil War. Mm-hmm. And historians will always refer to the Civil War as the first modern war. And they will usually talk about this in terms of technology, but technology production follows funding. And for the Civil War, they printed the so-called greenback, and that's when we had the first paper currency, the printable money that you can just print as much as you want, that isn't backed by anything at all. And that's when you had the first modern war. So every war before the Civil War shows you what it would be like to try and wage a war on a decent currency. And you'll notice they all end. Whereas today,
they just go on forever.
Yeah, there is
20 years in Afghanistan.
No certainty that any war will ever end.
The final thought here from this, not that there's much thought to this article, but he says the main criticism against minting the coin appears to be that it might worsen inflation. But the truth is no one knows because we've never tried it.
Oh, my God.
Talk about somebody who has zero economic understanding about...
Hasn't the government dumped trillions of dollars into the economy and it's resulted in inflation? Like... In the last couple of years?
Yes, that's exactly what's happened. And now there's another $1.7 trillion spending bill that they're rolling out.
The fact of the matter is that we're not going to change the amount of money that we print. So we're just changing which way we do it. Now, you can make your little platinum coin and print a bunch of money into the economy that way, or we can just do it the way that we've been doing it and loan all of that money into existence. But it's still money printing.
You know, I kind of wish they would go about the direction of the platinum coin or whatever, make 31 of them and, you know, pay, quote unquote, pay off the debt, just because it would piss off all of the big, you know, the countries around the world that are holding those, you know, the treasury bonds, right? Like they're the ones that have, that's who that debt's owed to for the most part, right? Like it's Japan, it's China, it's all these governments of the world. And this would just basically be the federal government dropping all this inflation in all at once, paying off all the, you know, their debt holders.
Well, give them great ideas, man.
And I mean, it would destroy the American economy. So there's the downside. There's that downside, but
or upside depending on how you look
though. So yeah, the largest holders are the countries, just because they have more money than corporations usually do if they're a major country. There's a very short drop off after that, and the largest corporations are the next largest.
So
holders,
like Walmart and those guys.
Exactly.
Huh?
Like every Fortune 500 company, as far as I know, they all have treasuries. That's how you stabilize your risk in that world. Is you go, oh, too much risk, better add some treasuries. Oh, not enough risk, I'll buy something other than treasuries. Right. So every single corporation that exists, as far as I know, especially every major corporation, would suddenly be gunning for you.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't make me cry to see the major corporations take it on the chin either.
But it does give you an idea of why they don't.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so there's like you said, there's just no chance that this is going to happen. This will go back to the usual political wrangling and fighting and play acting, like they're not going to raise the debt ceiling, and then they're ultimately going to raise it. And I don't know what it'll be, $34-35 trillion or
whatever.
There'll
be a whole bunch of news stories where all the news anchors basically repeat the same sort of, you know, taglines and slogans about, well, if they don't raise the debt ceiling, there's could be catastrophe. Because, we keep hearing it over and over.
Yeah, now, you might be willing to, you know, take bets on, is there going to be a government shutdown? How long is it going to be? Because
not long enough.
Happen. I mean, it won't be a real one.
No.
And it certainly won't be long enough. And it certainly won't be deep enough, because wouldn't it be lovely if
anything,
they just had to stop oppressing people?
Anything short of forever isn't enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is going to go exactly the same way that it always has.
The number, if you want to join us here, is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. So, Peekless, you had a story that is a bit of an uplifting piece about parents getting their kids out of government school. Apparently somebody's run the numbers and looked
measurable progress?
Yeah, somebody's looked at the different states. Does it actually tell us like the whole range of which states are the worst, which states are the best, or is
on
New Hampshire?
It does not.
Okay.
It just focuses on New Hampshire. New Hampshire public school enrollment plunge, worst in nation, even as taxpayer funding soars.
Who wrote that headline?
I mean, best in nation.
Yeah, best in nation is exactly how I would write that.
Where's this from? Patch.com.
Patch, okay.
Let's see,
I gotcha.
Here.
That's kind of a, I don't know if it's lefty, but it's definitely statist.
New Hampshire Journal News Partner, I don't know.
Got it.
According to the National Center for Education Statistics, Granite State public school enrollment fell by 14% between 2009 and 2020.
Nice.
Huh. Did their budget go down 14% between those years?
That would be new.
No, definitely not. They go up every year.
I remember when we covered the one place where we're like, hey, let's cut the budget to be, significantly more than private school for every single child would cost, but not, say, more than double what private school for every single child would cost. And, man, they ginned up enough people to cut that short.
You're talking about the Croydon situation?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, they sure did. Yeah, it really just goes to show that we have so much more work to do here in New Hampshire. It's still way too easy for the statist forces to fearmonger people about, the loss of the government schools. We can't lose. Children won't get educated if we don't have government schools and all the fearmongering.
And factually, you're taking away people's daycare.
Mm. Right.
Right. So regardless of what people say, right, pay attention to what people do, right? Mm-hmm. That cringy reaction they get when you talk about no more public school. Well, who will watch my kids for me all day long?
I don't know. Hire someone.
Well, right. But
figure
that's you know, to them, that's free, quote unquote, right? That's how people feel about it. They feel that that's free, even though they're paying for it.
No, yeah, let me tell you, probably half your rent in New Hampshire is going to private or going to these government schools.
Yeah. Well, but hey, some of us are stealing money from the rest of you to get government daycare.
That's true.
And how are we going to afford the daycare if we can't steal from you?
Yeah. And people immediately think, they go, well, daycare is so expensive, particularly compared to what I have to pay for public school, right? Because they don't see the real cost of what they're paying.
Right. Public schools across the U.S. are losing students, and New Hampshire is leading the way.
Excellent.
Yes, we are.
We're going to talk more about it coming up here in moments, especially if you are a parent out there, if you want to weigh in on this. Maybe you have had this experience of having your son or daughter going to government school and then pulling them out, and, you know, it's been a year or 2 years or whatever, and you can, you know, reflect and tell us what it's been like. You know, how has your kid benefited from this? What have the challenges been? The number 603-283-6160.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. DanPilla.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
U.S. USA News Update. The White House says additional documents with classified markings were found in President Biden's Delaware home this week.
Aides to President Biden said the latest documents were found earlier this week, but just announced those findings on Saturday. New York Times correspondent Charlie Savage, who's been following the story, says this new discovery is raising more questions.
Why did the White House say on Thursday, hey, there was one more record found in the space next to Biden's garage, and then it turns out there were six more pages?
I'm John Schaefer.
Ukrainian officials are reporting a new round of missile attacks. The strikes damaged several buildings, sparking fires early Saturday, but no deaths were reported. Maine has its first big Mega Millions winner. Lottery officials say someone in the Pine Tree State picked all six numbers to win last night's jackpot worth an estimated $1.35 billion. Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You can join us. You can bring up whatever you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian and Peoples Mountaineer and Captain Kickass
here
in the studio here tonight. You can always join us online anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. I want to say thanks to Damian Williams, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. You can join AMPS, as Damian has done, for as little as $5 a month. And it's still just $5 a month, even though $5 won't even buy you 12 eggs anymore in some places.
Right.
It's yeah,
$6 eggs, yo.
$5 is the new one, it seems like.
Yeah.
These days.
Yeah. Sure does.
But you can help us out, and it makes a difference still. $5 does make a difference for us. We appreciate it. And so thank you, Damian, and to everybody else that helps us out with the AMPS program. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. I put up a story over at freetalklive.com with details on how to contribute also directly to Riley Blake, who's the gentleman who spends I don't know how much time every day. He listens to the whole show, so that's like, you know, two or three hours. And then he edits that show down to somewhere less than an hour's worth of content. And he does that all for donations. We were able to pay him for a short period of time, but unfortunately, the advertising money here has completely run dry on Free Talk Live. So we're going straight to the listener, straight to direct support. And so if you want to support Riley, go to freetalklive.com. You'll find the links there. He's got crypto links. You can contribute crypto directly to him. He's got his own Patreon as well. So you can help Riley out over at just go to freetalklive.com. You'll find us the latest blog post there. And again, you can help us directly at the AMPS program, amps.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here. I think this is Jet. Jet, are you with us?
And let me quickly shut off this noise. I was calling. Well, I'll also say that I'll redo some of my contribution there for you.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I'm kind of into these First Amendment orders lately.
Yeah. Like Breaking the Flaw, who's one of our co-hosts on Thursday sometimes.
The idea they're using the camera to kind of keep these government people in check,
mm-hmm.
going to various things. Well, you probably heard this this quote. I'm not sure who it's from. I could look it up, I suppose. But it says, where the government fears the people, where the government fears the people, there's liberty. And where the people fear the government, there is tyranny.
Yep.
Now, what I've noticed is, in a lot of these cases, you'll find that the government people, whether it's police or just, clerks or whatever, they just hate this camera thing. So, because normally these psychos love to intimidate and harass and actually cause harm to people, this causes them to pause. And to take a break from that and to think twice. What's really interesting.
Well, I don't know if it causes them to think twice. Sometimes they just freak out and they want to cause harm to the person and do cause harm to the person holding the camera. They'll either physically assault them directly or call the police to commit the assault against the individual holding the camera. But it is always entertaining to watch, that's for sure. And kudos to these guys for being willing to put themselves in harm's way of these psychopaths.
Absolutely. It's incredibly brave of them.
Yep.
That does happen. But what I've been noticing more and more, and maybe it's just the ones that are uploaded, to the YouTube or whatever, they really are, once they're challenged and they're actually warned, say, hey, be sure you know what you're doing. Because you could be opening yourself up to lose your qualified immunity. I can attach your pension. I can sue you directly, that kind of stuff. But anyway, there's this fellow. His name is Jeff Gray. He, I think he's one of those who started PNAC, the Photography is Not a Crime.
Yeah.
Thing. His thing now is to incorporate all of the First Amendments into his what he does. He goes out and he stands in front of some place holding a sign. And what he does, he writes it on a cardboard, so it looks like a homeless thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he dresses he doesn't dress shabbily or anything, but just, plainly.
Yep.
And the sign says, God bless the homeless vets. So he kind of covers a whole spectrum of things from the freedom of religion mm-hmm. to freedom of speech, freedom of press, assembly and protest. And what's really interesting about it is almost every time he gets accused of soliciting or panhandling, and it's surprising how many of these bureaucrats and I don't know what to call them, like I said, the psychos, don't understand that the Supreme Court, if they believe in that, has actually resolved that panhandling is not a crime.
It's protected free speech.
Protected speech.
Yeah, yeah. Just to clarify, where is this guy going with the sign? Is he just standing on the side of the road, or is he actually going out in front of government bureaucracy?
Yeah, he's going out in front of either the city building or a library or.
Huh.
I'm not sure if he's ever gone in front of a police station, but.
I'm really surprised to hear that, because back in Denver, that was one of the easiest things to get arrested for, is
panhandling.
Yeah, panhandling.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff. And what I'm saying is that he must be making a living off this, he and some of these people, mm-hmm. Because he's willing to just say, you know, be careful what you're doing, because you can put yourself in your department or your organization in some big hot water for doing this. And, of course, he has been very successful in that. But what I'm saying here is it's just more than using the camera. It's actually covering all these First Amendment freedoms all wrapped up in one. So when they say, well, we've been told that you're panhandling, we've got to move you along, we've got to arrest you if you don't move, you know, he stands on all of these things. So as far as rather than just photography alone, you know, the press thing mm-hmm. that most of these people are doing. I just wanted to pass that along.
And what was his name? Jeff Gray?
Jeff Gray.
And what was his channel? Do you remember his channel name?
Yeah, it's Honor Your Oath. And it says First Amendment or Freedom or something like the Liberty Investigator or something.
Okay,
like
cool.
That.
I wonder if it's an Oathkeeper or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, and what I was going to say, what I like about him too, he keeps his videos short. There's one guy. It's really good, but he does hour-long videos, and I'm going, come on, I understand, and it's kind of fun to hear you and listen to you for 5-10 minutes at the most, but after that, it's just...
Yeah, I think that is one of the challenges for these guys. I mean, for instance, our friend Joa, he does, you know, 2-3-hour-long videos, or 40-minute or hour, yeah. You know, so typically they're an hour or more in some cases, and that's just because he's doing a live stream where he's in, you know, he starts at a certain point and he doesn't stop streaming just to, you know, that way no one can claim, oh, you edited the footage, you cut out a part where you were insulting the cop, right? You know, okay, here it is. Here's the unedited version. Now, he does put some edited ones up, but they don't come out as often, and I suspect that's just because it's takes a lot of time. You know, editing is a time-consuming thing, and you know, as much as I want these guys to make money at this, not all of them make a bunch of money, right? So, like, if you're not rolling in dough, you can't afford to hire an editor. Like, I'm sure these guys would rather be out doing more of the on-the-streets, getting out there and recording than they would want to do the editing side of things. So, you know, it'd be great if these guys could get more support for what they do, and also for lawyers, attorneys to team up with these guys. Yeah. Really, this could be, you know, these guys could be a moneymaker for an attorney, like a smart attorney who can come in there and help these guys with the countersuits and defense and things like that, possibly make a career off of this.
Well, what I've learned so much on this. I'm thinking about putting together a little handbook, things about, you know, what to say in response.
Do it.
When it is that you have to show your ID, when you don't have to show ID, that kind of thing. It's really interesting to where you can learn a lot about protecting your individual rights.
Very good. Thanks for the call tonight, Jet. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. The number here is 603-283-6160. There's like this whole community of these guys. Joa, who is our guy, he's on the show pretty regularly. He's always calling out to them and, you know, letting us know what's been going on with some of their situations. They're always getting caught up in arrests for a bunch of BS, you know, completely nonviolent, victimless crimes and just getting charged up with a bunch of nonsense, and then they have to constantly go to court. I mean, it's a tough job because, you know, when you get arrested for a living, it gets harder and harder over time because, well, if you end up getting convicted for some of that stuff, then they'll just say, oh, well, this person's a convict. They've got a criminal record, and, judge, you need to sentence them harder, which is why we always said that, you know, we did a lot of civil disobedience here in the early days in New Hampshire, and it doesn't happen as often now because it's just not a sustainable activity. You cannot continue to do civil disobedience and get convicted because then it'll get more and more, stringent punishments. So you really have to win every single case to avoid that.
The risk in confronting the beast is always going to be there, you know, no matter how you do it.
Right.
What I do like about things like the First Amendment auditors, Joa, is the use of the technology, right? Because when we talk about police state, we talk about the subheading of surveillance state, right?
Mm-hmm.
It exists today, more cameras under the purview of your governments than ever has existed in the history of mankind, not to mention they can spy on your cell phones at will, etc., and so on. So there's so many cameras now that the only way to sort of fight back is for principled people to use cameras to the advantage of exposing what kind of a-holes these guys are.
Yeah, and they expose themselves. You just get the video.
Yeah.
That's all. And you
people,
put it out
like,
there.
People who don't sort of swim in the waters of freedom and liberty, when they first see some of these videos,
mm-hmm.
somebody doing civil disobedience, even if it's an older video, just the shock alone on their face of like
sure.
it's just perplexing. Like how can, and I was there. Mm-hmm. I was sort of under the rapture of brainwashing of statism at some point in my life. And I don't know how I could have ever been that way, but yet I was. But when you see it on somebody else's face, it's really a life-affirming moment. Because you're like, yeah, that's right. That's how it really is.
I want to go to the phones here. We got another caller on the line. What's your name, caller? You're on Free Talk Live.
My name's Whit. I live in Ormond Beach, Florida.
Welcome, sir. You're on the air.
I've been listening to you guys for 3 or 4 months, off and on Saturday nights and Sundays. We're on WNBB in Daytona Beach.
Excellent.
And I'm really intrigued by the things that you say. I want to, help my family to be more free. Now I'm an older person. I'm 63. My mm-hmm. wife's 59. She's actually from New Hampshire.
Nice.
But I'm wondering what kind of steps that we could take being down here to get to that point.
What point would you like to reach?
You guys sound like you've got it going on. You know? The things that you seem to believe in are things that I believe in also. Absolute freedom. I'm willing to fight for it. So is my family. I hear you talking about moving to New Hampshire. Is there a particular town, or is it just getting into New Hampshire? And why New Hampshire? As opposed to any other places.
That is the most effective way to fight it, is to come to New Hampshire. Usually what people do is they usually start out in Manchester and very few people stay there, is what I've seen happen. For families,
my wife,
the seacoast is very popular, a little more expensive, but... what we need to win this is a community. And the most simple and effective way of establishing a community is to be in the geographical presence of other people that share your values.
Uh-huh. So to answer your question of why New Hampshire, there were 101 reasons why originally. What happened was the Free State Project was formed in 2001, and there were 10 candidate states that were chosen, all based on having less than 1.5 million population. They excluded Rhode Island and Hawaii because of corruption. So besides those two, the 10 lowest population states were the options, and each state had its advocates, move here. Okay, so they all came up with their pitch as to why the members of the Free State Project should vote, because there was a vote that happened once they hit 5,000 members, and the members of the first 5,000 people then decided which state would be the destination. So the answer why New Hampshire is because the people who were advocating for New Hampshire did a better job than all of the other 9 candidate states, and they killed them. I mean, they blew them out of the water. The New Hampshire folks came up with what was called the 101 Reasons That Liberty Lives in New Hampshire. It was originally a text list. It became a PDF file at some point. It became an hour-long documentary film, which you can still see. It's a little dated over at 101reasonsfilm.com. But also, it's being redone now. The new list is out. The 101 Reasons has been updated completely for 2022. It came out at the end of 2022. That is linked over. You can still go to 101reasonsfilm.com, and I put a link up there at the top of the page to the new version of this, which is free to download. There's a printed book that you can purchase as well on Amazon. It's all completely up to date. They added a bunch of new stuff. They took out some old stuff. And so there's 101 plus reasons, and there's a lot of them. I mean, there's just from political accessibility of the 400 state reps that we have here that, makes it really easy to get involved in the system if that's the kind of thing that you want to do.
Yeah.
To
Gun freedoms.
Say
that, a huge part of why this ended up being the best place to choose really had to do with the 400 representatives. So it was just really, really difficult to add a bunch of completely unnecessary and backward regulation. So where in other states it was a lot easier to add all of these things because, well, corruption, and every time you pass a law, you make a new job, whereas here it was just really difficult to get them passed, so no one really bothered.
And also they're just weren't, by way of comparison to other states, New Hampshire had fewer laws than any other state. There's some, like, if you suppose that there's some success, and one of the successes I'd like to see is secession of New Hampshire from the United States. Now, let's just assume that that happens. There's some very good reasons why New Hampshire would be a state to choose. There's a border to the north of Canada, and there's also a seaport. So, like, goods can come and go, you know, as if New Hampshire was its own country, that type of a thing. So, and there's a whole bunch of other reasons than that. Like, but that's just supposing that we have some success. There's some very good reasons why New Hampshire makes it a good place.
Ran the numbers here. You said, Whit, that you're calling from Florida. There are 120, it looks like, state representatives in the state of Florida for 21.78 million population. Doing the math, that's 181,500 people per so-called representative. Here in New Hampshire, with 400 state reps for roughly 1.4 million people, it's more like 3,500 or so, or a little less people per state rep. So it's a much smaller, quote-unquote, representative, yeah, you know, number.
And what do the reps get paid here?
$100 a year plus a small gas stipend.
So you're getting people that want to be in these positions, not people that are there to make it a career. You're getting generally people from a community who, you know, at the very least have some sort of civic responsibility, if not a philosophy of, no, screw that. That's too expensive. Yeah, we're not doing that. That's dumb.
They're not only are they not career politicians in many cases, they're also not lawyers in a lot of cases, which is what you usually get in state houses all across the U.S. I mean, these are just a few of the reasons that we're talking about here. But to come back to the community aspect, I think that wasn't the 101, you know, wasn't in the original set of 101 reasons because that community didn't really exist. But now there's nothing like it. Now there's nowhere else on the planet that has this concentration of liberty-minded people, people who understand the non-aggression principle, the idea that it's not okay to use aggressive force to achieve your goals in life. And to actually have that community of people is invaluable. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, two of the things that really stand out to me about having that community, I mean, in addition to all of the just general things of, like, having people to talk to about these things that actually get it, so the economic side of it, that there you will be able to get just about anything you want for cryptocurrency or for gold or for silver out here, and you can't really do that anywhere else. And the homeschooling, because, like, the biggest issue with schooling is, like, oh, well, the public school system already has this whole system set up.
Yeah.
Well, out here, we have a whole community of homeschoolers, so you can actually negotiate with people. So, okay, well, I can do this day, and I'll watch these kids then, and you'll watch them then, and you'll watch them then.
And then there's people that that come here that have ideas that they're like, well, how come this hasn't been done yet? Well, because we don't have enough people, right? So, like, if you have an idea like that and you come here, do that. Like, because we need people like that. We need doers.
Leaders. We need doers, for sure. Mm-hmm. Whit, any thoughts on that?
It sounds great, but you hit on one of the things that would have been a question for me. Like, well, two actually. One was from a monetary standpoint, but if cryptocurrency and gold and silver and all that are how you would buy and sell things, that answers that question. But what about likelihood of succession? Is that something that's very likely?
Well, it just depends.
In comparison to all of the other states, I say yes.
I mean, Texas has a pretty good independence movement down there, but we've had a little more progress politically than they,
isn't it
than
like,
they have.
Isn't it something like 30% of New Hampshire people are fine with seceding?
Roughly. It's 29% was the poll that was done over the summertime, and that's the details on that over at nhexit.us. It actually was 52% of Republicans who said they were in favor of New Hampshire being its own independent nation. So I think that's a good starting point. You know, it's not a done deal yet. There's still a lot of our neighbors that need to be convinced on this issue. But the good news is the more insane stuff that comes out of Washington, D.C., and you can guarantee that they're going to continue. I mean, the gas stove thing recently pushed a few people over the edge, from what I understand, on the idea of independence. So, I mean, they're going to keep doing crazy stuff, regardless of whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans. There's going to be more spending, more warmongering, more insanity, and that's going to make it easier and easier to convince our neighbors that peaceful independence is the answer again.
Yeah, I would bet that we're going to secede before anyone does, just because the critical mass that you have to hit population-wise here is just such an easier target.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, as people move to Florida and to Texas to get more and more liberty, but you have these giant, giant cities there with so many people.
Yeah, if you want to get 1% of a population for any kind of a movement, any kind of social movement, that is far more difficult to do in a heavily populated area or a large city as opposed to a small state.
Right.
I get that. Well, I appreciate you taking so much time with me. And is there like a website or something that I could go to?
Yeah, check out the Free State Project. Theirs is freestateproject.org.
And NHX.
And NHXit if you're interested in independent stuff, NHXit.us. And then, of course, the 101 Reasons that Liberty Lives in New Hampshire. Dig through that. Go to 101reasonsfilm.com. Click to the new version of it, the new text version. The new movie hasn't come out yet. That they're working on that.
Watch the old movie. It's pretty good.
It's a pretty good one. And most of it's probably still
out. He's 63. It'll be modern to him.
So, yeah, check it out. And feel free to call back with any other questions. We definitely appreciate hearing from you. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. The number here is 603-283-6160. You know, it's not going to be an easy road. Right, like getting out of the United States, they're not going to be happy about that. What will they do as a result? There's a lot of fear mongering that keeps people on the side of staying in.
Property taxes, fear, fear, fear. Right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's
winter. Fear, fear, fear. Like, I mean,
I was talking about on secession. I was talking about people that are afraid about what the federal government might do. But yeah, I mean, if you're afraid of winter, then you don't belong here. good luck out there.
A wussy.
But yeah, I mean, look, I don't like it when I lose circulation in my toes, but yeah. Still, there's a price to pay for freedom.
People have been living in four-season, weather for longer than I've been alive, so
yeah,
it's fine.
I mean, in the modern world, it's just really not that big of a concern. I mean, you keep your house heated, you keep your business heated, you keep your car heated.
You deal with it.
Yeah. Hire some kids to, shovel your driveway or,
Come
by with a snowblower or whatever.
And gold packs.
Yeah, it's fine.
Learn how to layer your clothing if you want to be outside for a long period of time. It's really not that difficult. And the thing is, like, there's a huge trade-off there where, like, should the worst of all possibilities occur and they're like, no, you can't leave. Well, it's going to be real hard to roll tanks in here.
Yeah, if somebody's like, oh, I really want to come, but winter. I'm like, well, then you don't belong here anyway.
Yeah.
Because if your freedom is less important than winter, right? Or if winter is more important to you, or lack of winter is more important than your freedom, get out of here. You're not serious.
And especially if you're trying to raise decent children, because we have an extraordinary network up here that you just can't find pretty much anywhere else.
And even before that, New Hampshire ranked as the top place to raise kids, just because there's not a lot of crime, and it's just a beautiful place, and people here are friendly. There's more coming up here. Hour number two is on the way. You can join us. In fact, speaking of raising the kids, we got to get back into getting them out of government school, which is coming up in hour two.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.